Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse.
Go on.
And this segment and the one before, I am with my business partner, Peter Janowski, and we're going over a few different things. We just finished some explanations in reference to 401ks fiduciary rules, which are very, very important. Look it up, but it's, you know, when you're dealing with anybody, and Otto, you even said it, there has to be the degree of trust. You know, if you don't trust the person, if you're walking away from anybody, and I don't care what they're doing for you, buying a car, you're selling your car, you're putting pavers in the backyard, you're doing a roof. If you don't have a good feeling for that person, get another one. Ask for a referral also. Okay, don't take somebody out of the phone book. I don't care what the job is. Get somebody. And we had Madeline Singers on this morning, and we weren't talking about that, but you know, one of the biggest complaints that wind up in the DA's office is consumer fraud, where they didn't finish the job and they walked away. And you could beg the guy to come back, but he's got your money and they're not coming back. And so, you know, a little digression again, but bottom line, the same has to happen with your finances. Go ahead, Otto.
Well, as a non-finance person, I think the other part of it that probably people have to understand is no matter how you do this with the most trusted person on the planet, that finance is not totally predictable. You know, things can happen. Stuff goes wrong. COVID-19 comes along. You can try to prevent, I guess, on your end, catastrophes, if you will. But I know people who've been in IRAs and they had money in there, and it was 2008, a cousin of mine, her and her husband panicked. They took the money out. They lost a fortune and they could never recover it because it's gone. So they need somebody to say, look, don't do that.
Well, that's something. What moves the market or for an individual investor is basically greed and fear, right? I mean, you want to make money and you run away when it's fear. There's another component when something like this happens, when somebody sells out at the wrong time and they panic and make the wrong move based on emotion, there's a sense of grief as well because there's a sense of loss. I don't know if we're allowed to plug this, and I'm not going to give out our website, but we change our website once a month.
Why don't you say it and then we'll figure it out?
Well, it's our website. You go to www.rjfsg.com. That's our group, Ryan and Janowski Financial Services, Financial Strategies Group, RJFSG. And we wrote a piece on our website this month that deals exactly with that, the emotional part of investing. And you know, it is very difficult because if you've never gone through a volatile time before, you think you're understanding your own risk tolerance. But until it's actually happens, most people don't realize that the overwhelming effect it could have on someone's emotions and sense of panic. I mean, and I'm not saying this to be condescending, but that's what most people really move on, greed and fear. It's your fear that you're going to lose your money. And the greedy part is, well, yeah, I don't want to lose any money, but make me some money if you can. It's not that easy when the market's, you know, dropping 20-30% in 3 weeks and then bouncing back like this. Like you said, you never know what's going to happen. No one can predict the future. There are ways of mitigating risk. Everybody's different. What's good for one person is not going to be good for the next. And I really think that this was a bit of a wake-up call for everybody to look inside themselves to really understand how much risk are they willing to take and be able to sleep at night.
Yeah. What about like right now, the thing is people are, if they want, they can take up to $100,000 out of their IRA and cut out your minimum distribution for this year. What's your feelings about that?
Oh, cutting it. Well, the RMD, which is the required minimum distribution, which is being suspended this year, is fantastic. you know, it's great for people. They don't have to pay taxes on it, you know, if it's coming from a traditional sense. I mean, in a way, it's
long. And you don't need the money.
Right, if you don't need the money. Long term, there's another side to this too, because this is all part of the stimulus package. We're going to have to pay for the stimulus package. I don't see too many people talking about it in the news. The markets, the NASDAQ just made a new high, and it seems to be disregarding the fact that we're going to have probably 10% unemployment at the end of the year, an election year, and at some point taxes have to go up. The government's going to have to pay for this stimulus package. So not only taxes have to go up, but we're losing tax revenue from suspending the RMD. We're losing tax, you know, we might be losing tax revenue where people would normally take money from 401ks and IRAs where they'd have to pay a penalty in taxes. Now they don't, because they could pay it back over a few years. So yeah, it's great. It's great for the person. It's great for the consumer, but you know, it's going to add to, as a country, it's going to add to our tax bill.
The one negative out of with the $100,000 one, in my mind, and my understanding of the $100,000 one, is you could take that money and you have to pay it in 5 years. You have to pay the taxes on it.
Oh, you have to pay it back.
Yeah, and then how many people say, don't worry, I'll pay it back, and now you don't have it to pay back. So that's $100,000 on your taxes in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to taking it, you know, so which sounds wonderful, because, you know, we have clients that turn around and say, I just need 5,000 to 10, I'm going to send it back to you. Rarely does anybody send it back, which is fine. That means they needed the money. So if you're taking out $100,000, maybe to give to your kid, maybe to do something, put an extension on the house, whatever it is you need, you're taking it. But the government wants their taxes eventually. But now it's a lump sum. It's just like the mortgage company's giving you a break that you don't have to pay the mortgage. You got to pay it eventually. So in 3 months or 4 months, instead of paying $3,000 a month, you're going to have to pay them $12,000. Well, if you don't have the $3,000 a month for the next 3 or 4 months, where you're coming up with $12,000 at the end of 4 months. And now you have a problem, because that happened in 2008. Now they're going to come after you. Now there's going to be penalties on it. There won't be penalties prior to it. But now you're in arrears for $12,000, because now the special grace period is up. So any of those things, I have, you know, the fine line, or the fine print rather, is so deep that I just avoid it. You know, keep it simple, keep it vanilla. The RMD one is nice and clean. Don't take it. You don't have to pay your taxes. Let it go till next year if you don't need it. So you have another year for the money to grow, tax deferred, and you have a little less you're paying to the government this year. That's a different story. The $100,000 one, you know, I don't go along with that. And deferring mortgages and everything else, I don't go along. You know, that's just my philosophy, because people will get burnt. And then there's nobody in your corner saying, oh, don't worry about it for another, you know, even these people with not paying their rent, they're going to have to pay it. So what's going to happen is, and I think it's in New York City, they have a six-month grace period. Well, if you can't pay your rent for 6 months, believe you me, that landlord at the end of 6 months is going to put you out. And they're going to have 6 months to do it. So you may wind up living for 1 year in Manhattan rent-free. But once that is up, where are you going to be in the street? Do your best. Make a deal with the landlord now and say, I can't give you $2,000, but I can give you $1,500. He would be very appreciative, because you're helping him out. That's, again, this is...
Well, what Peter's, you know, with the stimulus package, you know, to me at least, I visualized the printing presses working overtime in order to get this money into the system. And then the other one I just ran into was my own dentist. I had quite a chat with, and he's having a hard time getting some of his people back because they're getting $600 unemployment. I don't know how long that's going to last, but in some cases, these are people who were just about making that in the first place. So now they can get that without working. And I don't know how long that's supposed to last. I don't know what the date is on that, but you know, there's a lot of things that are going to have long-term effects, I think.
Oh yeah.
That we don't really have to live with yet.
That's one of those fights going on right now with canceling that 600 or keeping it going. And at this point, I don't think there's enough votes to cancel it. But right, why would you go back to work and lose $600 when you're staying home? And with the unemployment and the $600, you're actually making more.
Well, at some point, if they actually wanted to put time and energy into the system, they could modify it to put some kind of scaling in place, you would think. But then it would probably require all new systems and everything, and just to scale it. But it's going to have to change at some point. We can't pay for this forever.
Yeah, no. And the amount of money that they're throwing into the system, it's spooky. You know, and you still have 40 million people unemployed. No matter what the game of coming up and coming down, the percentage of unemployed, the percentage of businesses that are not going to reopen, it's staggering. And then when they do reopen, they're going to be opening at 20, like these restaurants that are reopening now, but they're opening like 25, 30% of capacity. So if you're paying your rent, I don't think the landlord's giving you a 60% reduction in rent. So we're in... I don't know. It's such a bizarre, you know, we've never been here before. What it does prove is you always have to have money for the rainy day. So if we're going to go to finances on this, you know, when Joe Galante was on from the controller's office a couple of weeks ago and he referenced that piggy bank savings, what was it? Savings.
Yeah, three charity. Things. At least I know there were three things, but what were they?
One was donations, one
this
was savings.
This is senior talk radio. You're allowed to forget.
Yeah, one might have been like fun, vacation. Yeah, make savings, vacation, and donations. But savings had to be the biggest, which is the truth. And this is a country that really goes paycheck to paycheck. And those people have had a rude awakening. And that's why the comeback is going to be that much more difficult. There's not a lot of people. And then unfortunately, which always does happen, and I'm not the person to read the fine print, but even that $500 billion that was given out, nobody knows where it went. And they're not telling.
There's no oversight. They fired the oversight. I don't want to get too political on the show, but there's very little oversight to where all the funds went. There's none. There's basically no oversight on the federal level.
Right, which is a disgrace, because it's needed for the smaller guy. You know, the bigger guy doesn't have to go from 25 million to 30, in my mind. But the poor person out here with two children and just getting by with formula or whatever they're doing needs the extra 500. It means something to them. And that's an important consideration. But actually, we're out of time already. This is amazing. I want to take a moment to thank Peter to give up his time to help go through some of these things with us this morning. And then, of course, for Otto for giving him a good grilling. I appreciate that, Otto. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.